Now, Wisconsin's unemployment rate is at just 2.9%. While that's mostly seen as good news, it is presenting a challenge for manufacturers, especially in rural parts of the state.
They were already having trouble finding workers to fill open positions. Now, with unemployment near a record low and companies competing for potential labor, that hiring task is even harder.
So businesses are getting creative to attract workers. Besides trying to offer higher wages and better benefits, they're providing transportation, improving on-site food services, and more.
Ellen Rosen is a freelance reporter who covers entrepreneurship, manufacturing, and legal trends. She recently wrote about rural manufacturers' hiring challenges for the New York Times. Ellen, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Help us understand how big a problem this is. Can you quantify it for us?
The problem is happening throughout the nation right now. There are no exact numbers on it, but what I know from talking to people all over the country is that there is a shortage in rural areas, in metropolitan areas, and it's at every level, from the unskilled workers to the most advanced workers. The total number of manufacturing jobs as an absolute number has declined since before the recession. There is still a shortage because manufacturers are still expanding.
And so why is there a shortage specifically for workers for these rural manufacturers?
Part of it's a declining population, which is a big part of it. The opioid crisis factors in a bit because that contributes to the shortage of workers. There is some sense that some of the younger workers might want to go to other locations rather than stay in rural areas. But the biggest issue of all is that both parents and children and even teachers had been historically discouraging kids from going into manufacturing. There was this perception that manufacturing was dirty, dark, and dangerous, and that kids shouldn't go into it, so they were saying, don't go this way. So those are all, the problems. There also has been a discouragement of students going into manufacturing and even people who are out of school because of the fear that their jobs were going to be, terminated because of either automation or robots or offshoring of jobs. So it's complicated. That's a long way of saying it's a very complicated problem.
So you report that this is happening around the country, as you said. Which states in particular are having the biggest problems attracting workers to these specifically rural manufacturing sites?
I'm not sure that there's any one state where it's worse than other places. I mean, Wisconsin is particularly hard hit because the economy is good. There's a lot of manufacturing. There's something like fewer than 90,000 people in the entire state are unemployed right now. You've got Foxconn that may be moving in and wants to hire supposedly 13,000 workers on top of everybody else who are all looking. So there's a really robust manufacturing sector and just not enough people.
So I want to go back to something that you said, because you said there is this perception that the jobs are dirty and dangerous and not something to aspire to. But you were also saying that a lot of the jobs are actually, because there's been so much move towards technology, a lot of these jobs, it seems like, would be well suited for someone who comes out of college with, say, an engineering degree. So is it a matter of, is at least part of it a matter of perception and matching people up with the jobs that would actually be a good fit?
There's a big part that's perception. So I was just at a recent conference, and it really was a trade show, and the person was talking about the future of manufacturing, and they said, how many people here are engineers? How many people are in IT, in information technology? And almost everybody raised their hand. There were no classic, what you'd think of, sort of like from the 50s or like Lucy, or just this, the sense of what manufacturing is about. But even at the lower levels, at the less skilled levels, everything is computer-driven. So even if you're coming in as at an entry-level position, you're going to have an iPhone or an iPad, something that is going to be working with the machinery itself. The old days of the assembly lines, those things, where you're doing things by rote, those things are pretty much gone in any sizable manufacturer where those things will have been taken over by automation.
Are the challenges in urban areas where manufacturers are also looking for employees, are they similar to what's going on in rural areas, or are they distinctly, specialized?
The some of the challenges are the same, and that's finding the talent pool. It's a little bit different because you've got issues in rural areas with housing shortages that are also, as people sort of stay in their homes later and age in place, this is causing problems for younger families that want to come in and set up shop somewhere. Maybe they're returning to the roots, or maybe they're going where the jobs are, and they can't find suitable housing. So that's a problem that's affecting rural areas more than urban areas. But the flip side of that is housing costs in urban areas typically are more expensive. So I spoke to one man, came out of high school, no college education at all, no technical schooling afterwards. He had, you know, fast food jobs, was a gas station attendant, saw there was a job in more of a rural area. This is Minnesota, but not so far away. And he found that the housing was half of the cost of what it was in the Twin Cities. So for him, it was worth the trade of leaving his extended family behind, but moving with his young family because housing was so much better. And there was a good job with good benefits. I mean, the manufacturing jobs pay well. So I think the average in Wisconsin is starting salaries can be, you know, over $50,000 a year. And that's on average, of course. It should be attractive to people coming out of school, coming out of high school, or coming out of community college or four-year degree.
We're talking with Ellen Rosen right now. She recently wrote a piece for the New York Times about the challenges that rural manufacturers are having for trying to fill open positions. And you did just touch on this, but cost of living has to be something that rural manufacturers could use as a benefit to say, hey, look, you know, you're going to get a decent salary if you come to this small town where we're located, and you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck.
That's one of the huge selling points, and that and community, you know, that maybe they have family, you know, roots, or but there's sort of a smaller community where you get to know your neighbors. You know, everybody's sort of looking out for each other. Those things that seem to people who, like myself, who live in a metropolitan area, seem like maybe it's stereotypical, but I've been hearing this again and again, that in small town, you really, even if you're not a native, you can put down roots. So it's interesting to hear that and to see what people are doing. There's also a big emphasis, another thing which I didn't touch on in the article but is also growing, is an emphasis on the arts in some more rural areas because that seems to be a way of bringing multi-generations together and creates a cohesiveness.
And what other kinds of perks or benefits are employers using to try to lure these workers to come to their locations?
They're doing a lot of, you know, salary, as you mentioned, is, of course, number one. Health benefits, on-site daycare is a big thing, especially if people need to travel from a greater distance to get to their job. The gym memberships. You know, even things like taking a page out of Silicon Valley with some of the transportation, pool tables, you know, things like that that are really seem, you know, innocuous, but really matter because, it creates this cohesiveness, better lunchrooms, you know, more gone are the cafeteria styles where everyone's upgrading. And it's amazing because I have been talking to so many manufacturers. They're all concerned about it. They're all talking about it. They say they spend, you know, hours each week on how do we recruit. Another big emphasis is on training and whether or not they are sending their new employees as well as their existing employees to get trained, whether it's on-site or off-site, another huge thing.
Well, and you talked with Tom Wheeler, the president and chief executive of Wigwam Mills, which is based in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and we're going to talk with him actually in a few minutes. He told you that the most important thing for employers is to offer a path for career growth. Is that something that you heard from other business leaders too?
Uniformly, people were saying you can't just expect that someone's going to come in, especially if they're younger, to come in and think that it's a static job. Everybody's looking ahead and planning and saying, what am I going to do? And the employers are listening, and they really are thinking, well, you know, how do they grow? What do we do to encourage that so that they'll stay? Because it's not just recruiting, it's how do we retain? And it's a constant issue. They're just getting very, very creative about it. But recruiting and the retention and the training also has to do with partnering then with local schools. And it's the high schools, it's the middle schools, and of course the community colleges and the technical schools.
We're talking about the challenges rural manufacturers are experiencing in filling both skilled and unskilled positions. Ellen Rosen recently wrote about this for the New York Times.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're on the employee side of the equation, do you work in a factory in a rural area or a small town? What got you working there? If you've thought about this and it's not on your radar, why not? What would it take to get you to take a job in a smaller town factory? What are the obstacles you'd have to overcome? What kind of perks would a company have to offer you? If you're on the other side of the equation, an employer, are you having trouble filling positions in a rural part of the state? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on Central Time.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our discussion on the trouble rural manufacturers are facing in filling both skilled and unskilled positions.
You can join in with your questions and your experiences as an employee or an employer at 800-642-1234.
And before we get to your calls, we're joined now by Tom Wheeler. He's the president and chief executive at the Sheboygan-based Wigwam Mills, which makes socks. He was featured in Ellen Rosen's New York Times story about rural manufacturers. Tom, thanks for joining us.
You are welcome. Good afternoon.
So, Tom, how big a worker shortage exists at Wigwam, and how has it affected your business?
Well, it's a growing one. As our business expands into a full third shift, we are in the process of almost doubling our production. And in doing so, have a major requirement for both highly skilled and skilled labor.
And so what have you been doing to try to attract workers to fill those positions?
Well, a number of things, some of which you've spoken to and about with Ellen Rosen. You know, first and foremost, and I always kind of lead with these kind of discussions in what we can do and what we need to do initially. And certainly on the forefront is to create an environment that we have a factory operation and an entire office operation that is clean and safe. My history suggests that environments that you create in the workplace that are ones that people find a pleasant environment to work into every day is really as equally important as comp and benefits. Certainly, all folks, no matter what you do in a company like Wigwam, there's a sense of pride and joy to be associated with a company that has high ethical standards and a good, solid base of operation. People like to feel that they are associated with a winner and one that has extreme high standards. You mentioned earlier when I was listening that another aspect is that we have to create at all levels that folks see a definitive career path, that we are internally active in terms of training and advancement. We're supportive of outside education. You know, we do run a very nice referral program internally for our employees that if they find additional associates or associates that join our company, that we do reward our employees with a cash bonus in terms of helping us recruit and retain employees. And then in a very tough market in Sheboygan, we work with and we partner with some very wonderful companies in Sheboygan County and Bemis and Sargento and Kohler, Plymouth Foam out in Plymouth, Wisconsin. We have to work hard to recruit employees just like all of these other wonderful companies, and we're looking at advancing several new programs in order to do so.
Well, Tom, when we were talking with Ellen earlier, one of the things that came up was there's this perception of what working in a factory is like, that it's dirty and dangerous and really kind of backbreaking labor. What image would you like people to have when they're thinking about possibly working for a manufacturer?
Well, we create a very pleasant environment. By no means is it dirty. We ask people to work hard, but it's not backbreaking kind of work. There's music. We have temperature control. We make sure that people stretch in the morning before they start their shift. We have wellness aspects to the business in terms of nurse care, et cetera, if people require it. We're very conscientious in terms of sort of those things that are repetitive motion type of ailments. And so I think you have to have a very strong, attentive focus on the manufacturing operation and anticipate problems before they happen. And then it's word of mouth. People that come to work for us, people that have put in applications today, for instance, they know we're a good, solid company. They're secure in their employment, and we create an environment that is pleasant and an environment that people can look forward to every day they show up to work.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for giving us a view from on the ground in Wisconsin.
My pleasure, Judah. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Tom Wheeler is the president and chief executive at Wigwam Mills, which makes socks in Sheboygan. Ellen Rosen stays with us. She wrote a piece about the challenges rural manufacturers are facing. She wrote that for the New York Times. And Ellen, let's go to the phones. And Alex in Green Bay is up first. Hi, Alex.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What would you like to tell us about?
Well, I'm 22, going to college, but I did work in a mill over the summer with a pretty big employer here in Green Bay. And, it wasn't dirty. It was a clean environment. They just did a major expansion, so there was windows and whatnot. But when I came back for winter break to work, there was another manufacturer that I closed down, I think it was in Appleton, and I saw guys that, you know, had worked there for 18, 20 years, 4 weeks vacations and all that. And it was gone, and they're starting back at the bottom. And so, to me, that's kind of a signal like I should probably do something else because if that job goes away in the future or something like that, you're done. You're starting over again. So that was just my comment.
Great. Thanks for that, Alex. And Ellen, is a sentiment that Alex shared something that you heard from people?
I've heard it a bit, and I think part of that is getting corrected because there's a better, there's more communication now in terms of what's available. So I'm not sure, I'm surprised in Green Bay that they would just be out of work without being snapped up by somebody else, given what I've heard about the shortages. So I don't know if that's just, someone needs to be connecting the people who are out of work with the employers, and I know that there is greater effort to do that. Otherwise, I'm not sure, but there's that concern, and there's always the sort of residual concern, will there be offshoring? Yeah. But what I've heard is that not only are people trying not to offshore quite as much, except in cases where the expertise is only abroad, but that there's also more foreign direct investment, so companies from abroad are investing and opening in the United States. You know, all of this is pre-tariffs, you know, or a little bit of uncertainty, or a lot of uncertainty, really, because of the tariffs and what that may mean for factories and manufacturing, and you know, and even sort of for consumers down the road. But you do get the sense that the employers are trying. So I'm surprised. Did you talk to any of them about why they hadn't found new work?
Actually, we're not going to be able to go back to Alex, but I want to try to get one more quick call in. Chris in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the program today. It's been great. I wish I could have caught all of it. But my question / comment I'd like to hear you all maybe grapple with a bit is the decline of labor unions and union representation of workers in factories. I know this administration in Wisconsin has taken us to a right-to-work state. And, you know, historically, unions were born out of factories, and factory workers found, you know, solidarity with each other. They had this group and camaraderie together through their union. So when you take that away, you're taking away something in the workplace culture that you can't get back just by having a clean factory and listening to music. You know, workers have lost their voice and agency in their workplace, and that's something that I think would do a lot to retain your workforce. And
we're going to have to leave it there, Chris. I want to make sure that Ellen has a chance to respond. What about that? What about the decline of unions? Has that contributed to this?
I have not heard that. It's very possible that it has. Places like Wigwam are, you know, do everything. So sometimes there are companies that are meeting union requirements, even if there aren't unions. But I don't. That just hasn't not come up in my reporting about what the impact of a lack of union.
And Ellen, just very briefly, do you think that rural manufacturers who are short on workers have reason to be optimistic about the future, or is this just going to get worse?
I think it's going to continue to decline. The problem will continue for a while if they cannot bring in immigrants, which is another big issue, and, of course, another hotly contested issue. But without an immigrant workforce, this is going to continue for a while. A third of companies surveyed by the National Institute of Manufacturing, which is a research arm, found in 2015, so 3 years ago, before the shortages were as widespread, found they were already turning down work because they didn't have enough manpower.
Well, Ellen, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
Ellen Rosen is a freelance reporter who covers entrepreneurship, manufacturing, and legal trends. We talked with her about rural manufacturers' difficulties in hiring workers.